Well, good morning, and welcome to worship at Alfador Church this long weekend of August, but it is July the 31st today, and we are really glad that you are with us wherever you may be. I am actually away this weekend as well, and I want to thank Laura Peters and family for rising to the occasion, and Laura is going to be sharing thoughts, message this morning, and I am very grateful to her for doing that. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, and the Stoney Nakoda Nations, the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. And we also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together, we hope that we can all find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made the bright, warm sunshine and the freezing cold snow. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made the little tiny flowers and the great big pine trees. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made the peaceful ponds and the crashing waves. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made the cornfields and the rocky mountains. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made the creeping caterpillars and kicking kangaroos. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made you and God made me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Come, let us praise God for making all things good. Laura is going to be speaking this morning on creation calling in the microscopic. And I'm looking forward to what she is saying. The scripture she has chosen for us from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to read a couple verses from Jeremiah 29 and then a few more from Jeremiah 31, all in the New International Version. Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And over to chapter 31, starting at verse 33. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it down on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, and from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together this morning. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for the world. We particularly think of the war in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, and in Afghanistan, and in Syria, and in South Sudan, and Myanmar. We pray for the world. God, our Creator, you made all things in your wisdom, and in your love you save us. And we pray for the whole creation. Overthrow evil powers, right what is wrong, feed and satisfy those who thirst for justice, so that all your children may freely enjoy the earth you made and joyfully sing your praises. And we pray for the church around the world and our own church family. Gracious God, you have called us to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Keep us one in faith and service, breaking bread together and proclaiming the good news to the world, that all may believe you are love, turn to your ways, and live in the light of your truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for peace, thinking this week particularly of our own country and our indigenous neighbors, where we pray for peace and reconciliation. Eternal God, you sent us the Savior, Christ Jesus, to break down the walls of hostility that divide us. Send peace on earth and put down greed, pride, and anger, which turn nation against nation and race against race. Speed the day when the wars will end and the whole world will accept your rule. O God, we pray for our enemies. We pray for those who we cannot love unless we love our neighbors. Remove hate and prejudice from us and from all people, so that your children may be reconciled with those we fear, resent, or threaten, and may live together in your peace. We pray for those who govern us. Mighty God, sovereign over all nations, direct those who make, administer, and judge our laws, the Prime Minister and others in authority among us, in our province and in our city, and throughout the world, that guided by your wisdom, they may lead us in the way of righteousness. We pray for our world leaders, eternal ruler, hope of all the earth. Give vision to those who serve the United Nations. Give to those who govern all countries, that with goodwill and justice they may take down barriers and draw together one new world in peace. We pray for those that are sick. We think of particularly of Dan Ensland today. Merciful God, you bear the pain of the world. Look with compassion on those who are sick. Cheer them by your word and bring healing as a sign of your grace. We pray for those who sorrow. God of comfort, stand with those who sorrow, that they may be sure that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall separate them from your love. We pray for friends and family. God of compassion, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, that drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to each other. God of all generations, we praise you for all your servants, who having been faithful to you on earth, now live with you in heaven. Keep us in fellowship with them until we meet with all your children in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Mighty God, whose word we trust, whose spirit enables us to pray, accept our requests, and further those that will bring about your purpose for this earth. Through Jesus Christ, who rules over all things and all creation, we pray. Amen. And our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 2. James 1, verse 2 in the New International Version. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Welcome. It's great to be with you today. We are spending our summer as our church family talking about the wonders of God's creation and how that creation calls us to our Creator God. We have already discussed how God calls us in the strength and majesty of rocks and mountains, in the power and force of the wind. And today, we will look at how creation calls us in the microscopic. Calls us to seek, to be curious, to believe there are things we do not understand yet. We are encouraged to be bold in seeking truth, in seeking God. God wants us to know his creation. God wants us to know him. Sunsets, oceans, mountains, thunderstorms are indeed glorious, magnificent, powerful reminders of God's presence and power. But the microscopic things in our world, they challenge us to work for discovery and knowledge and understanding. An important lesson for us about knowing God. And, wonder of wonders, we have a God who wants to know us, who wants to be known by us. The Old Testament speaks repeatedly in phrases of, "So that you will know that I am your God, that you may know me." And in Deuteronomy, when God speaks of the Israelites being led to worship other gods, he refers to them simply as gods you have not known. As our passage from Jeremiah 29 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, even though we are talking about tiny things today, this is huge. God wants you to know him. You are created in his image. Not out of need, but out of a desire for relationship with you. We are created to be like him. Remember that as we talk about some of the amazing microscopic parts of our own bodies today. He created you with patience, with precision, with love and care, and part of himself. Genesis 2:7 tells us he breathed life into us. Next, he gave us the freedom to choose that relationship with him and all of the complexities and ultimate sacrifice of what that meant. God did these things for us, for you, to be in relationship with him so we could know him. But this knowing is not easy. There will be times when you feel God large, like a sunset or the amazing Rocky Mountains. God will be right there. Often, though, God is quiet, complex, challenging to feel, to find, to understand. This is why it is good for us to spend some time thinking about the vast, exquisite, intricate, microscopic world. For when we do so, we are reminded that our vast, exquisite, complex God is very much like the microscopic world, everywhere. And when we speak with boldness, with curiosity and desire to understand, when we use the right tools, such as scripture, prayer, community, we are rewarded and challenged to uncover more, to seek Him. This is my God of wonder. This is the God that I want to know. This is the God that I take joy in when I flip over a rock and discover little creatures, except for millipedes. I'm less excited about my God of wonder when I discover millipedes. But God exists in these complex, glorious things, even millipedes. So I thought that today we would talk about some of the attributes of God, and then together think about what Scripture tells us about these parts of God, and then what are some tiny or microscopic things that maybe help us think of these things or understand them a bit better. So I encourage you, as we go through some of these parts, to think about things in your world, in your home, things you've experienced, things that you like, maybe things that you don't like, that help you sort of imagine these parts of God. I will share some as well, but I encourage you to think of your own. Let's begin with, God is immutable. That's a big word. God is immutable, never changing, constant. And our more day-to-day way to put this is, God is dependable. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So when I'm thinking about this type of thing of God, I always think of the places in nature where you see patterns and how these complex patterns just seem to repeat. I think about the complexity of the Fibonacci series and how that creates these beautiful seashells, and how those seashells can be found on large, we have them in large fossils of these what do they call them? Emily? Should I stop?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to stop. So I'm thinking of analytes, where these large examples of this seashell type shape, this incredibly complex but repetitive, constant, recognizable pattern of a seashell that we have. And then we can find that in the tiniest little seashells that we can pick up and find at a beach. And that same pattern we find in our own, in the bones of our own inner ear, just how these patterns in nature evolve. And then we learn to understand them, and we learn to understand them over time. Fibonacci learned to understand some of it back in the Renaissance era. What type of tiny patterns can you think of in the world around you? Where do you see patterns? Maybe in the petals of a flower, or the center of a flower. Maybe the complexity of a bug's eye. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. In the 26th chapter of Job, we have this long list of very common things that we associate with God: calming oceans and putting the heavens into place, and control over these vast, vast things. And then at the very end, verse 14, Job says, "These are only the edges of what he does. They are only the soft whispers that we hear from him. So who can understand how very powerful he is?" So of course, when you think about powerful things, we want to go to those really big things. But in reality, one of the most powerful things that we've dealt with in the past couple of years in our world is something that is so very, very small that we need a microscope to see it. And we need an electron microscope to really see it. And of course, that's the coronavirus. And when we think about these things that have power in such small packages, it reminds us of this complex world that God lives in and that he has created for us and put us in, and how we are required to depend on him in order to navigate that. It also makes me think of how throughout time we have learned to understand. We have taken step by step by step over millennia to understand God and to understand the world around us. I imagine ancestors learning to understand that sand came from rocks. And then from sand, we learned to make glass. And glass, and understanding of how glass changes light, allowed us to look at the structure of a grain of sand. It gave us microscopes. And how from that, we understood that perhaps there's things even smaller than that, like atoms. And we learned about electrons, and that gave us access to the electron microscope. And that helps us understand how to grapple with challenges like the coronavirus, and how to create medicine, and how to understand how our bodies work and the things that we can do there. And of course, the fact that we've gone from what we didn't believe to be true to this thing that we do understand and recognize reminds us that there are more things that we don't understand or recognize yet, that truth is God's alone. And although we journey towards understanding new things and building these massive structures like the Hadron Collider that help us to catch glimpses of incredible things like quarks, that the complexity there is just the tip of who God is. That's our omnipotent, all-powerful God. God is creator. He's creative. Psalm 139:13 reads, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So, of course, when I hear this, the first thing I think of is our DNA. I imagine watching somebody knit, and I imagine the fibers of wool running through my fingers, how it spirals, how it's twisted and spiraled like the DNA, and how we use it to create things that are individual, like a fisherman's sweater with specific patterns and specific sizes for specific people. And I think of God knitting DNA within us, and that the passage of time, and how my DNA is connected to McQuinn's DNA, and my mother's DNA, and my grandmother's DNA. And again, I'm reminded of that constant of God, and the power of God, and the creativity of God, that I am unique and you are unique. And I think of the incredible variety of creatures that he's put on the earth, and how bizarre and complex they are. I think of the mosquito, which most of us don't want to really think about, and how it has challenged us, and yet it is essential to the survival of the planet. It is the baseline for the food web of so many species we can barely comprehend. And believe it or not, mosquitoes are pollinators. So if you love your bees, you got to love your mosquitoes on some level too. I think of the incredible power of our own bodies, the creativity, the way all of the different systems that we have work together to fight off infection, to allow us to move, to allow us to grow, that the DNA is a part of that, and that how it's part of the cells in our body that guides us and helps us become who we are and change and adapt and function. There's a complexity there that is astounding. But of course, God does these things because God is provider. James 1:17-18. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light." Think of the things, the tiny things that God gives us. Like I mentioned, the things in our own body, the parts of our own body that do these amazing things. Even if we have health struggles or disabilities or limitations, there are still so many things about our own bodies that are phenomenal and complex. Think about seeds. Think about the mustard seed. Think about how seeds carry this an oak tree in them, or think about the unique formation of the water molecule that has these very specific traits that make life as we know it here on the planet possible. And that's unique to that one molecule. Think of one of my personal favorites, the mighty tardigrade. I don't know how any of you are familiar with the tardigrade, but it is sometimes called the water bear. And it is this very wrinkly, squishy, microscopic creature that has a bizarrely sort of alarming mouth and little tiny claws, but is nearly indestructible. You can boil it, you can freeze it, you can send it into outer space, and it carries on. And one of the things I love about the tardigrade is that because we've discovered the tardigrade and that it can do these amazing things, we are inspired. God's creativity and his provision inspire us and give us ideas into possibilities, and maybe will take us to the stars ourselves at some point. God is creator and creative and provider because God is love. Psalm 5:7, because of your great love, I can come into your house. With deep respect, I bow down to your holy temple. So I think of all the tiny little things and creatures in the world that show love. I think of ants who farm. I think of spiders carrying a bajillion little babies all on their back. I think of the complexity of the human neuron, which is this odd-looking thing with little fingers that we have throughout our body that gives us our senses, gives us sight and taste, and we can hear and we can touch and we can think. And because of that, we can be in relationship. We can relate to one another. We can experience God's world. We can experience each other. We can love. We can understand God. We can read the scriptures. We can pray. We can put thoughts into words and into song. And all of that happens because of the neuron. And that's a God who loves us, a God who wants us to be in relationship with each other and with the world around him and with the world around us and with him. And lastly, I think of the God who just is. God is infinite, self-existent, the great I Am, Jehovah. In Exodus 3:14, God says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So just imagine that. All of these things that we have just barely scratched the surface of understanding, that fill us with awe and wonder, that seem so tiny and so incomprehensible. And God actually existed before them, exists outside of time and space as we understand it. That is a God of wonders. My God of wonders. I hope that you have learned to see God a bit with me today and been astounded anew by the tiny microscopic call of creation. My prayer is that you will be challenged to seek God this week, that you will see him in tiny, surprising places, and that you will dig deeper and you'll be curious and you'll be bold. And I pray that you will be reminded that the God whose care and thought is so evident in all these tiny, tiny things will likewise honor and use whatever small things that we offer. Gifts that may not seem like much will take on a wonder, the wonder of a fruit fly eye, and they will reproduce to abundance like bacteria. And when we seek him, we will find him and be filled with awe. And we will be encouraged to make new discoveries that empower us and give us tools that we need to heal and help and grow. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being you. I thank you for being all powerful. I thank you for being creative. I thank you for providing us with so much and for loving us enough to do that. I thank you for wanting to know us and wanting to be known by us. Help us. Help us to be bold in how we seek you. Help us to use the tools you have given us. Help us to learn and discover and grow in our knowledge of you, in our knowledge of your world, in our love for you, and our love for one another. In your name, amen. So, Lord, who understands every cell of your body, even as it changes and multiplies in this moment, may that Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord, who is light himself, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, who wants to be known by you, lift up his countenance upon you. And may that truth and that love give you peace.